All right, it is, you know, it's always National Something Day, but this one jumped out at me. John, this is kind of your bailiwick. Is that a term, bailiwick?
Yep, it's good use of that word. All right, so it's National Scotch Day.
Yeah.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
That is, of course, the legendary Ron Burgundy.
Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Yeah. Down in my belly.
Now, Mace, do you know the difference between scotch, whiskey, and bourbon?
I do not. To me, and I don't have a refined palate, it's brown water that tastes really strong.
They do all taste very similar. But the easiest way to remember it is that they're both, scotch and bourbon are both types of whiskey.
Yes.
All right? So bourbon is made in America.
Okay.
All right? You can't make bourbon anywhere else. Bourbon is an American thing. Scotch is made in Scotland. All right? So that's the difference. But they're both whiskeys. And there's a lot of different types of whiskey. Like Jack Daniels is Tennessee whiskey. Like where my dad grew up in Northern Ireland, they make Bushmills. In Southern Ireland, on the other side of the country, they make Jamesons, but they're both Irish whiskeys. There's Canadian whiskeys, but the easiest way to tell the difference between bourbon and scotch is that bourbon is made in America and scotch is made in Scotland.
So you mentioned Jack Daniels, and I really hate Jack Daniels.
Why?
I hate it. Because when I was at Bowling Green State University, we went away to Ben Rose Vacation House in Devil's Lake, Michigan.
Jack and Coke was my drink for years.
Oh, and we started doing shots. And I ended up, this is how I got my nickname. My nickname in college was Mashotsky. My name is Mashotsky. My nickname got changed to Mashotsky because I did 7 shots of Jack Daniels and literally was hungover for 2 days afterwards.
So did that ruin Jack Daniels for you? Like, have you had, like, basically
ruined
none?
It for... I could never, even when you said Jack Daniels, it made me feel a little bit sick.
That's funny, because on my 21st birthday, people kept giving me shots, and it was of Myers rum, and I got sick, and now I can't drink Myers rum.
Yeah, the other one for me is schnapps. Anything schnapps. I got hammered on schnapps at my senior prom, and I went, this is so funny. So my girlfriend's name was Claudia Schrapp. Claudia Schrapp, and we started calling her Claudia Schnapps because I got so hammered on the night of the prom. I don't even remember the end of the prom. I think most people have some liquor that they had too much of an experience with and will never drink again. Those are my two, Jack Daniels and Schnapps. And yours is rum?
Myers rum, can't drink it.
Jeez. Yeah. Brutal.
Anyway, it's National Scotch Day, so if you're so inclined,
do a shot.
Have a glass of scotch.
Do a shot
in honor of Ron Burgundy tonight.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
Such a great movie. By the way, I went on a date for that movie, and we saw it at the ArcLight in Hollywood. On the big, gigantic screen, the dome.
Cinerama and, Dome?
Yeah, Cinerama Dome. So I'm in there on a date. It's first date. And God, I wish I could remember that guy's name. I'm laughing my ass off. And he gets up and walks out of the theater saying, I don't think this is funny. And I was like, then I don't think we have anything in common. Why are we even on a date? If you don't think Anchorman is funny, you're not my type. If you haven't seen The Godfather, I can't.
Yeah, Jorge.
At all. Jorge, have you gone back and watched The Godfather yet?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's Lindsay.
Lindsay hasn't seen
who
it.
Who hasn't seen it? Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, it's a guy movie. Actually, I talked to Paul Reiser yesterday. Another great guy movie is Diner. Remember
one of the great movies of all time.
Unbelievable movie. Unbelievable. But. Very much a guy movie. You don't hear women say, hey, I
dig
that movie Diner.
What about that Alan Ameche question?
Yeah.
The wedding is off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that movie is fantastic.
Hey, I came across something interesting. You know, I love the origins of expressions. Okay. You know, where do certain expressions come from? So I wanted to give you one. This is a common one. Not playing with a full deck. Not playing with a full deck. Everybody knows that expression. People say, I don't play with a full deck. So I'm going to read this. Here's where that expression comes from. There was a tax back in the day levied when purchasing playing cards, but only applicable to the ace of spades. So you could get a deck of cards, but the tax would be paid on the ace of spades. So a lot of people would say, I'm going to save that money. I'm only going to buy 51 cards. So people who were playing with 51 cards and refused to pay the tax on the ace of spades were viewed as not playing with a full deck.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's absolutely true.
Huh.
I know what you guys are thinking.
Yep. I'm writing it down. It's now on one of the possibilities.
Did you sniff that out? Well, we'll find out. Maybe I gave it away too early.
Wait, hold on. I missed that. Can you repeat that?
No.
No, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. Jesse, where are you? Why did you not hear that? You're the friggin' producer of the show. By the way, we asked this question. This is really fascinating. Would you trade Kiebert Ruiz? Here, I'll do it exactly as I phrased it. As a Dodgers fan, would you trade Kiebert Ruiz, maybe a future All-Star, for Max Scherzer, who can leave in 2 months? That's the question. I put it out there as a poll. John, how do you think it went?
I think most people are probably against it. I'll say 65% against.
54% say absolutely, and 46% say absolutely not.
Okay.
So it is very, very close.
Yeah, I think that Kiebert Ruiz is going to be traded by the deadline.
I think he's going to move. He's the best chip that we've got, and
Friday 1 o'clock-ish, right?
And I think Will Smith is going to be an all-star catcher. I mean, he's got a career 800 OPS. Doesn't grow on trees. That's really something.
Yeah, so and by the way, if you compare, somebody sent me a tweet earlier. I wish I would have written his name down, but somebody sent a tweet earlier that mentioned if you compare Will Smith this far into his career to Mike Piazza this far into his career, it's very similar in a lot of ways. Will Smith is better. So that's how rare it is to find a really good hitting catcher.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I wanted to jump to this, John. Lakers, of course, the draft is Thursday. We've got what, the 21st pick, I think?
22nd, yeah.
22nd pick. So we're potentially making a draft pick on Thursday, although there's a lot of noise and rumors and smoke that says we may trade down for an extra second rounder, so we'd have 2 second rounders instead of 1 first rounder. That's one of the things that has come up. But I came across this story, which is fascinating. This is courtesy of Lakers Nation. The Lakers have been really, really good at drafting. A lot of prospects work out for the team, and whoever they select is likely going to hit. According to Braden Gerard of Towards Data Science, the Lakers rank as the third best drafting team in the NBA since 2009. So you think about the guys that have been late first rounders or second rounders that the Lakers have drafted. Larry Nance Jr., Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Clarkson, Ivica Zubac, Talen Horton Tucker, all those guys drafted either late first or middle of the second round. John, Rob Pelinka, and even predecessors drafted really well for the Lakers.
Yeah, the one person you mentioned in there that the Lakers didn't draft was THT. He was drafted, I believe, by... It was either Orlando or Washington, and then the Lakers bought the draft pick, which is kind of the same thing.
Kind of the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, they've been great, and they've found people can play in all areas of the draft. My sense is that pick could be traded, but I don't know. If they don't find a deal they like, then it doesn't make a lot of sense not to, to take somebody with it. The other thing is that they could do is, instead of making one pick in the first round, you trade it for 2 second rounders, and that could save you money.
Right, because you pay guys based on the slot they're in, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Potentially that's trade. And, of course, the free agency period opens on Monday. There's a lot of noise. In fact, do we have this DeMar DeRozan clip? DeMar DeRozan was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, and listen to what he said about LeBron and AD.
You know, I mean, you take Brooklyn as an example. Three of the greatest scorers this league has ever seen.
Right.
And they balance it out well.
Right.
It sucks that they couldn't be healthy through the whole thing, because I think they would have been in the finals.
But right.
Those three guys, come on. And they figured it out. They worked it out. And they had the great rhythm when they played together. So it's definitely possible to work, you know. And it's all about just coming together. You know, we all smart great basketball players. I don't see.
And if you want to win, you'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No question.
All right. So let me say this. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yes. So you can talk about him.
Right. He's a great player.
Yep.
He might be an even better guy. I've met him a couple of times.
I've never met him. Yeah.
He's from Compton.
Yep.
He spent 1 year at USC. He's universally liked around the league. I'm rooting for him wherever he ends up. Would love to see him come here, but
won a championship?
No, did not.
He did. He wasn't in Toronto when they won?
No, they had traded him for Kawhi.
Right.
So he's never won one. Obviously sounds like he'd be willing to come to a contender to try and help them win one, and he's a ridiculously easy guy to root for. So I don't know if the numbers work, but he's the type of guy you'd love to have on your team.
He's a great playmaker. He's got a great mid-range. He's not necessarily he's actually not at all a three-point shooter, shot 25% from three.
Right, but creates his own shot, has averaged 20 points a game for most of his career.
Yeah. No, he'd be an interesting fit. And if he's willing to come for less, if he's willing to come, for example, for the mid-level exception, which is like $8 or $9 million, it sounds like he's willing to play with AD and LeBron for less money, a discount, because he'd be coming home and playing with those guys. I think he'd be an interesting fit. The other trade that's bounced around for a long time, I'd love to hear from people on this, is this idea, and this one you can't necessarily talk about, but it's floating around, the idea of trading Kuz and KCP for Buddy Hield from Sacramento, who is one of the best shooters in the game. I think that Kuz is going to be traded at some point in the next week. I think that he's the most tradable asset that the Lakers have got. I think if you put Kuz on a mediocre team, he may go for 18 to 25 points every single game and sometimes explode for more. He isn't necessarily as good or as comfortable in his role as a guy coming off the bench. When he has started for the Lakers, and he did when AD got hurt this year, he was very good. He's better as a starter than he is coming off the bench in sort of a spot situation. But if you're a Lakers fan, would you be willing, what do you think of DeRozan? And also, would you be willing to move KCP and Kuz for Buddy Hield, who really is one of the best shooters in the game? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We'll do that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's going on? We're in the middle of one of the most exciting weeks of the year, of this year. We know that the NBA draft is Thursday. We know the Major League Baseball trade deadline is Friday at 1 p.m. our time, so right when we go on the air. And then on Monday, free agency opens at 3 o'clock, again, right when we're on the air for the NBA. And we will be all over all that for you during the shows over the next couple of over the next few days. So make sure you're here every single day.
What should the Lakers do? What will they do? Here's Jason in Downey. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, boys. It's great to always talk to you guys.
Thanks,
so,
man.
First off, Kuz, I love the guy, but I honestly feel like his time has passed. I think whatever team he's going to go to, he's going to excel because his teammates are not named LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But for the DeRozan thing, I love it, guys. I really do love it. It's a different beast when you try to say that to play for the Lakers, and he just gets it. And I also have a feeling that why I love it so much is that it seems realistic. I have a feeling that Pelinka is going to get in the lab, make some moves, and actually can land him for us. So I'm hoping that's one thing they can do to bring him in the offseason, to get that third score.
Yep.
So when LeBron and AD sits down, that's perfect. So I'm hoping for that. Have a great day, boys.
All right, Jason. See ya.
Good. Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I mean, if it works, I love DeMar DeRozan. I think he's a great fit for the Lakers. He's not a three-point shooter, so he doesn't solve that issue. The Lakers were 21st in three-point shooting this past year, so they could definitely use an improvement like a guy like Buddy Hield, who shot 39% from three for Sacramento. But DeMar DeRozan makes a lot of sense coming home, and if he's willing to take less, I think he'd be a fantastic fit.
Well, you talked about one of the ways they could get him is if he'd be willing to take the mid-level exception. That's a pretty serious pay cut. There's also different ways you can, you know, you can do sign-in trades. You can do, we still don't know which, like, do we know what Montrezl Harrell's doing yet?
No, it was reported today that he's 50-50 on whether or not he's going to opt in to the second year of his deal.
Yeah, so that might be, you know, $9 million more
right.
you have
he
to play
with.
Right,
he could opt in and then you trade him.
Right, so there's several different ways Rob can go about rebuilding the team. Here's Ricky in Long Beach. Hey, Ricky, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Long time listener, big fan, first time calling in.
Thanks.
So, lifetime Laker fan. Hey, what's up? So, yeah, you know, I love the DeRozan trade or move. I feel like we got glimpses of what a solid point guard looks like in Schroeder. And, you know, he just kind of faded in the end, when we needed him most, that we were hurting. Granted, there was a lot at play. It wasn't all his fault. But having that just consistent, like y'all said, LeBron needs some rest, AD needs some rest, and we got that Ferrari that can just go. You know, I really like it. I think we need to do whatever it takes to make it happen, because if you find them, they will come, right? You know, we bring people in, they won't take pay cuts because they want that chip. And I really like that three-piece, you know, Bron, AD, and sorry, I'm spacing his name.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We appreciate you calling. Mace, you mentioned Kuzma. You know, another guy I'm really anxious to see where it kind of goes is Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso's
you know,
Caruso's
an unrestricted free agent. So hopefully they can come to terms with. I mean, I'm a
and THT. That's the other one. I mean,
well,
THT
he's restricted.
Is a restricted free agent, so they can match.
Right, but Caruso's unrestricted. Caruso could literally go sign with anybody he wants. So
here's what I don't understand: if you sign THT, so say somebody throws a bunch of money, let's say 3 years, 30 at THT. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it would be four. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and the Lakers match. Does that make them hard capped? Because they will have brought in a salary of, let's say, $10 million.
No, the mid-level exception is an exception to that you can use regardless of where your cap number is at. So because you used it to sign one of your own players, you're allowed to go over the cap, but you don't lose the mid-level exception.
Got it.
Same thing, by the way, with Schroeder. Should they decide to keep him and pay him a bunch of money, their luxury tax number would go up, but they would still have a mid-level exception to work under the cap.
Got it. I want to throw something different at you, okay?
Okay.
Just to be fair. All right, so this is the origin of another expression. I love origins of expressions. I gave you one a little while ago.
Yeah.
So women used to wear beeswax on their face to smooth out their complexions. Mm-hmm. And this is the origin of the expression, mind your beeswax. When women were speaking to each other, if a woman began to stare at another woman's face, she was told to mind her own beeswax. The same thing, if a woman smiled, the wax on her face could crack, and that's where the expression crack a smile came from. On top of that, if she got too close to a fire, the wax would melt, and the expression losing face comes from that. So that is the origin of losing face, mind your own beeswax, and crack a smile. I just wanted to throw that out there because I find that incredibly interesting.
Do you have any of those in your family?
People like, that wear example, wax on their face?
No. Expressions that you have no idea where they came from. Like in my house, when you're being loud and obnoxious.
Yes.
Or when you're saying something that my mom didn't want to be discussed, like you're talking out of turn.
Sure.
She would say, "Hey, John, read your note."
Read your note?
So I asked my mom after several times hearing this, "What in the world is that?" And she said one time when she was a little girl, there was a dinner at her dinner table and everybody was arguing with everybody else. You know how, especially now in
these
times. And so her mother, my grandmother, handed everybody a note that said, "Sit down and shut up." And every time somebody got loud and obnoxious, my grandmother would say, "Hey, Mace, read your note." And you would look at the note, it would say, "Sit down and shut up." So that was a polite way of saying, "Sit down and shut up.
Sit down and shut up. Read your note.
Yeah, my mom still uses it.
Juan's big expression is, although it's kind of literal, head down, pencil up.
Right, means start grinding.
Yeah, start grinding and stop listening to other people. Stop listening to the gossip.
Time to go to work.
Time to get to work. And if all is going wrong, as long as you keep your head down and your pencil up, you're going to be okay. I like that one. All right, so yeah, crack a smile, exactly. All right, so coming up next for you, John, there's a mistake that a lot of guys make when they approach a woman. I came across this from a relationship expert. So this is for single guys.
Yeah.
You walk up to a woman, there's a common mistake that everybody makes. I will tell you what that is next, and we got Radio Tinder coming up for you at 2:45. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Just listening to Keyshawn this morning. John, believe it or not, you know, I love sleep, and I love sleeping all the time, and I sleep 10 to 11 hours a night. Woke up early today and went and hit a bucket of balls.
I teed off at 6:40. What time did you hit your bucket?
10 a.m.
All right, so I was pretty much on the 16th hole by the time you were hitting your bucket of balls.
But 10 a.m. is really early for me. The great Derek Allen from Rancho Park is the guy that's teaching me. And I've got all these conflicts now, people giving me advice on my swing. And I'm like, Chris Morales came out and I was hitting a bucket of balls. He gave me advice. Derek's giving me different advice. I got advice from Sue Kalinske, who I played with last
week. Welcome to golf.
Advice from David Singer. It's like, who do you even listen to? I've got all these guys. Who do you listen to?
Of all of that list, do not listen to David Singer. I've played golf with him. He's not going to help.
Okay, got it. So, John, this is for single guys, which doesn't include you and me. So there's a relationship expert named Simone Grossman. She runs a matchmaking company called 3-Day Rule. And she gives an example here of how a guy should make his approach. So again, this is for single guys.
Yeah.
Here's what she says. So I'm sitting in this park by a lake waiting for my friend to come. And this guy comes up to me and stays about 8 feet from me the entire interaction. She says, I didn't feel uncomfortable. I felt like he was respecting my personal space. He wasn't presumptuous in any way. His opening line to me was not a comment about something particular in my energy rather than a comment about my body or physical, whatever. So her rules are, provide plenty of personal space if you are hitting on a girl. Do not comment on looks or appearance. Mm-hmm. And she goes on to say, don't lay it on too thick. So when you were single, what was your secret to picking up a girl?
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
You're the girl. I'm walking into the room. Okay? I look at you.
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh. Yeah.
And at the time, I did not know the Ted Lasso. It's nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you. This is a song that will greet you. I would have done that. But no. I would simply walk up to you and say this.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. You know what would look good on you?
What would look good on me?
Me.
Oh, God. Get away from me. You are creepy.
I didn't comment on your looks. I didn't comment on your looks. I didn't. Okay, how about this one?
Okay.
Hey, you want to have breakfast tomorrow?
Okay.
Should I call you or nudge you?
That is ridiculous. Count me out.
These are can't miss.
They are not can't. They are absolutely misses. They're absolutely misses. Give me a line. Give me an actual story of you picking up a girl. This is pre-Lisa. You picking up a girl. What was it like?
Well, it's not like I could. I was Brad Pitt. My best chance at a girl was to be self-deprecating. So I would say something like, "Can I ask you a question? Is this shirt as ugly as I think it is?" I'd start with something like that.
Hmm. That's interesting. What do you think about the stay 8 feet away rule?
Staying 8 feet away in a pandemic is like normal. Is this pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, yes.
The pandemic.
Pandemic.
It sounds normal to me.
Yeah, you're giving some space, and you're not commenting on appearance, and you're not laying it on too thick.
Yeah, like what I say to you. You know what would look good on you? Me.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's a terrible line.
Corey, what do you think?
Absolutely awful.
I wouldn't use it.
That is super, super creepy.
Most girls would tell you that lines don't work.
You have to connect somehow.
You can't get a girl with a line, you know.
I mean, the easiest thing in the world is, can I buy you a drink?
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing. And I remember when I was in the 90s, when I was pretending to be straight, I got with women all the time. And this story just popped in my head. So I'm at this bar in Toledo, Ohio, and I'm single at this point. And again, living straight. And this is weird. So I pick up this redhead, beautiful, beautiful girl. And I forget how I did it. I probably bought her a drink or something like that.
Right.
And so we started macking out in the bar. And during this, part of her hair fell out.
Whoa. Okay.
So she had like, what do you call that? When you puff up your hair by putting extra fake hair there?
Yeah, she had hair extensions.
She had hair extensions. And part of it came off. And I did not know what to do. And we certainly did not go home together.
The hair extension freaked you out?
Oh, it freaked me out. It's like your hair is falling out. What is happening? Your hair is falling out on me.
Yeah, small thing to put up with if, you know, she's making out with you. Big
deal. Let me tell you a guy story. Okay, so here's a guy story. So I'm dating this guy, and he's always wearing a baseball cap. Never think much of it because I'm always wearing a baseball cap. Finally, we start. And his cap comes off, and he's completely bald. Completely bald. And I'm
like,
oh my God.
So you think he misrepresented himself with the hat?
He had the baseball hat on. How was I supposed to know he was bald?
Well, why did you think he was wearing a hat?
Well, because I wear a hat all the time.
Were you outdoors?
No, we were indoors. We were in a bed.
No, but when you met him.
Oh, yeah, we were outdoors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that freaked me out, and that went no further. But in my world,
what do you have against guys with no hair?
It's just not my jam. You know, it's okay if I just played golf with Singer. It's okay. I don't want to judge people, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Like if you're losing your hair, just shave it all off.
Mm-hmm.
Just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Don't have. You know, like Friar Tuck hair, where the hair goes around your head and then there's nothing on top. It's like Friar Tuck. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just go all the way. Go all in. Own it.
I'm trying to think of, like, so would you rule out, like, Bruce Willis has no hair. Ed Harris has no hair. There's nobody that's, like, that has no, Jason Statham has no hair.
Right, they shave their heads.
The Rock. Right, but you would rule all these guys out just because they don't have hair?
No. If they own it and they have no hair at all, yes. But if they have Friar Tuck hair, just sort of the fringe around their head with a bald spot on top. Like, okay, so I'll talk about David Singer, who I played golf with. He's a former producer. And I've always said, you know, he's got, You know, he's got Friar Tuck hair, and then he's got one puff of hair in the middle of his head. And I'm like, it's like Hair Island. Like, you have to swim to the
so
rest of the
hair. So you think he should shave his head?
Absolutely. I think David Singer should shave his head. I've told him that personally.
And what is he? How does he respond?
He said, I like it as it is. And right. I'm like, no.
You be you.
Dave, you be you. If you want to have a puff of hair in the middle of your head with the rest of it on the sides, I guess that is your own business. Now, I'm not judging. I'm not judging anybody by this conversation. No matter how you have your hair,
I support your hair, by the way.
No, I support everybody's hair.
Unless you have Friar Tuck hair.
Unless you have Friar Tuck
yeah,
hair.
You clearly don't support his hair. All right, let me ask you. I want an honest answer to this question.
Yeah.
How do you think Jesse's going to do in Radio Tinder?
Okay. So I thought he was great the first time we did it on Friday.
I agree.
Thought, nailed it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like, if it was gymnastics, I would have given him a 10 or whatever the hell they scored that score now. I would have given him a 4 for yesterday. Ooh. He was just all over the place, scrambling. It's like
so what are you expecting today? What is your level of expectation?
I'm expecting sort of in the middle. Like, not as bad as yesterday, but not as good as Friday. What are you expecting?
Numero cinco.
No, I'm not expecting a 5. I think he's going to crash and burn.
Oh, Jesse.
Oh, man.
How are you feeling about it? Jesse's filling in for Lindsay, by the way.
I feel like you, Mace. You know, I know I started off strong on Friday, and then, you know, I kind of went down a little bit yesterday.
A lot. You went down a lot.
Okay, I went down a lot yesterday. You know, that's what you say. But, well, see, you know, I think there's only one way to go from up. You know, I started high, exactly. Then I went down. Now there's only one way to go but back up.
Now, correct. Jesse, this is a lesson I'm teaching you that I hope you're picking up on. Mm-hmm. You always want to under-promise and over-deliver.
Yes.
So I've just set you up for success. Right now, because I'm predicting you are going to crash and burn, like a 1 or a 2.
Mm-hmm.
Numero uno.
No, yes. Nowhere to go but up. All right? Now you can over-deliver.
Okay.
You just have to over-deliver. Are you ready?
I am ready. 100% ready.
And we're expecting very little from you.
Perfect.
Very little from you.
Perfect.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Radio Tinder is coming up next. We'll see how Jesse does. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's Radio Tinder time. Jesse's in for Lindsay. Jess, what do you got?
All right, guys. So we're going to start off with, not sure if you guys have heard this, but there is an old video store called Vidiot's that was in Santa Monica back
Love
in the day.
Love that store. Love that store. It was right by my, very near my house.
Yeah, so it closed down in 2017, but construction is underway in my hometown of Eagle Rock to rebuild the video store. It's expected to open in spring of next year, and nice. When it does, it will hold a 250-seat movie theater and Vidiot's collection of more than 50,000 titles on DVD, Blu-ray, and VHS, along with new programming.
Cool.
But before I ask you guys to swipe either way, I want to read you guys this quote from Maggie Matt Kay, who is executive director of the nonprofit's Vidiot's Foundation,
okay.
Who spoke with the LA Times last week. She said this, quote, "You could say that in the age of streaming, it's counterintuitive to do something like this, but
yeah,
I would say it's obligatory to do something like this because as convenient as streaming services are, they're problematic only when they begin to obliterate other points of access to this entire art form. And when you have multiple points of access to an art form, you just invite so many more people in and you have such a better chance of encouraging new generations of people to fall in love with that art form and then to support it another 100 years.
Yeah.
So, guys, swipe left or swipe right on Vidiot's bringing back the movie rental store / theater.
Swipe left. It's not going to work. Mace, convenience is what people want. If I want to watch a movie, name any movie. Let's say I want to watch Happy Gilmore. I want the easiest point to get from A to B. I will Google into a thing how to watch Happy Gilmore. If I can stream it on my big fancy TV from Mirror Audio Video, I'm going to do it. Why would I get in a car and drive over to Vidiot's? This is going to fail.
It's going to succeed. First of all, it's going to succeed because it's a foundation, so it's a charitable thing. So they're going to keep it open that way. But, you know, there was an experience of going to a video store. There was the browsing that existed, where you'd see them all
now it's called an internet search.
Yeah, but Happy Gilmore, where is it?
I don't know. I'm going to type in how to watch Happy Gilmore, and it'll tell me where I can get it.
Would it occur to you to watch Social Network?
Sure, I like Social Network.
Right, but where is it? In other words, walking through the aisles of a video store, you see old movies, you see newer movies, you see classic movies, stuff that you would never actually search for. The movies are finding you in this case instead of you finding the movies. And the other thing is it was a social experience. It was like, hey, I saw that movie. I love that. You know what? I would steer clear of that. Like, there was a conversation that went on between browsers. I mean, I think this is going to work only because it's a charitable foundation, but also because it's a cool retro experience. It's a little bit like, you know, Amoeba Records sells a lot of vinyl. I think Amoeba Records is still there. They sell a lot of vinyl. The same crowd that likes vinyl for their music is probably going to like DVDs for their home entertainment system. So I think it is going to work. I'm going to swipe right on it.
Jesse, what about you? Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I think it'll work. I'm with Mace. I used to go, you know, to my local Best Buy growing up. My dad would take me every Friday, and I would spend hours just looking at different movies, looking at different video games. I spent a lot of my time in the wrestling section just looking at the different covers for VHS and DVDs for, like, old pay-per-views that I didn't get to watch. I remember very vividly renting WrestleMania 15, which has Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels, and that's like his first championship. And I remember very vividly going and renting that one, that specific WrestleMania several times because I just love that match and that entire show. So I'm with Mace. I think it will work. It has that niche audience where it's just enough to survive. It may not thrive, like it may not be super over the top like it was, like video stores were before, but I think it has enough of an audience to survive.
All right, what's next?
All right, so next up, last Thursday, Kanye West hosted a public listening session for his new album, Donda, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And according to TMZ, he never left. He's gone so far to construct a studio space and living quarters, and even brought in a private chef with him to prepare his meals. So Kanye West, thank you, Jorge, has moved into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to complete his work, which was for the album Donda, which was supposed to come out on July 23rd, but got pushed back to August 6th. So guys, no reports on if he's still wearing that red jacket and the pantyhose over his face. I'm assuming he is, because he's Kanye West. And
he's doing like a weekend thing where he's got his face and pantyhose.
Yeah, because he showed up at the soccer game at that stadium wearing the exact same thing.
He didn't
change. It's like, dude, at least wear something, at least wear a different color jacket.
Yeah.
But yeah, so guys, swipe left or swipe right on Kanye living at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
This is typical for Kanye. Swipe right. Mace, he's a little nuts. And he's
a little.
You know, most geniuses are crazy.
Thank you.
And he is crazy.
Were you referring to me when you said geniuses
are
crazy?
No, I was referring to Kanye West.
Okay. I thought I heard my name.
Seriously, could Jesse tell you any story? Any story about Kanye West that would surprise you?
No. And by the way, the geniuses are crazy thing is a real thing. I mean, Kanye West is, and I know you'll disagree with me, John, but he's one of the most creative geniuses there is right now. He has invented himself and reinvented himself. He's got the shoes. He's got the he did the spiritual music, the revival Christian music in, what was that? Montana, somewhere like that, Wyoming, maybe.
Well, he did like an Easter service thing at Coachella a couple years ago.
Right. So he's doing religious services. He's releasing. I think Kanye West is a genius. He's a little bit like Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield, in those commercials, makes it seem like he's living at the stadium in Cleveland. Kanye West is actually doing it. So yeah, I'm swipe right on Kanye. Whatever he's doing, it'll be interesting. I won't necessarily consume it, but it'll be interesting and fascinating, and I support him 100%.
All right, I'm curious to see how his album is going to come out, because I haven't really liked a lot of his songs ever, like, for years. But we'll see. Maybe there's something in the.
By the way, the album is named after his late mother, whose name was Donda.
Oh, okay. I thought he was trying to go with like some Mexican Latin thing because I kept seeing it as Donde.
Yeah, his mom was Donda.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Learn something new every day. All right, guys. Next one for you. Kind of going.
Do you?
All right. Next one for you. Kind of going back to the movie side. So it was announced yesterday that Universal purchased the rights to a new Exorcist trilogy for a whopping $400 million.
Wow. Who bought it?
Universal.
Universal, okay.
Yeah, and it's from Blumhouse and David Gordon Green, who is working with the new Halloween trilogy revival with Jamie Lee Curtis. And then today also, it was all the new Blockbuster trailer. Blockbuster, I'm sorry, I'm still on the videos thing. Ghostbusters trailer came out, Afterlife. And over the weekend, you know, Snake Eyes came out. And then this Friday, Jungle Cruise comes out. So I'm seeing a whole lot of, you know, familiar things, but not really stuff that I would tie in or that I'd want. So guys, I ask you, swipe left or swipe right on studios trying to revitalize old stuff or bringing more, like, you know, not original content. So looking something old or something like a ride, like at Disneyland, and creating something from there.
Okay.
I will swipe right on it simply because, Mace, if you've been paying attention, this has been going on for 10 years. Most of the movies being made in Hollywood are superhero movies, a remake of something that happened years and years ago. Yep. I actually think that the Jungle Cruise movie looks pretty good.
I guess the reviews are pretty good on the Jungle Cruise
movie. I mean, it's The Rock. Can you really like...
Yeah, it is
The Rock.
Well,
it's The Rock and it's Emily Blunt.
That's true.
Yeah, who's Emily Blunt's normally pretty good in
Jungle
stuff.
Cruise is 70% positive on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so I'll go see Jungle Cruise. It looks like they did a good job with it.
Don't say that. You will not go see it. You will not sit in a theater and watch Jungle Cruise.
No, I will watch it here. I will walk down the hallway and sit here and watch Jungle Cruise.
And you can do that because I think it is going to be available on Disney Plus Premier Access. So, John, you can 100% do
that. I watched Space Jam 2 nights ago. That's how I consume movies now.
Yeah, I will see Jungle Cruise. I will not see. I'm going to swipe left on the Exorcist thing. We've seen so many demonic possession movies since The Exorcist. When The Exorcist came out, it was 1973. The great Ellen Burstyn, who has actually been on the Culture Pop podcast, was a revolutionarily frightening movie.
Linda Blair debut, right? Or had she been in a movie before?
I can't remember. Linda Blair, the little girl, her head spun around. I feel like I've seen that now a million times in movies. So I'm going to swipe left on The Exorcist. I'm going to swipe right on Jungle Cruise. I'm going to go see Jungle Cruise this weekend.
Oh, I'm 100% going to watch
it. I'm going to see that. I'm going to see the Val Kilmer documentary. I'm going to see probably 3 movies this weekend.
But why do we need another Exorcist or another Halloween? Like, why?
Yeah, why? Did you see the last Halloween?
I saw it.
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was good, too.
It was Jamie Lee Curtis, who's now, I don't know, in her 60s, I think. Well, I hope I'm right on that. I think she's in her 60s. And I thought she was fantastic in that movie. So the Halloween movies, I actually had fun with. The Exorcist, not going to work.
Yeah.
$400 million. Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was an insane amount of number.
Why not just make a movie called Exorcism and don't buy it for $400 million? Why not make a movie called Possession and don't buy The Exorcist for $400 million? Like, I don't understand why that's important. Why is it important to get that name? You can make a movie on the same subject. Just call it The Possession. And then you don't have to spend all that money up front.
Huh. All right, Jesse, you got one more or are you done?
That's all I got for you guys today.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't all right.
I actually think this was an improvement over yesterday.
That's all I was looking for.
Yeah, I'll give you a solid 8.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah, and I will give you 5.5.
Numero siete.
I like John's. I like John's rating more.
Is that a 7 from Laura?
No, from me. 7.
Oh, from you. Oh,
that's a recording. That's an old recording.
I think that's Janice too.
That's not from Laura. That's Jasmine, right?
That's Bree.
Oh, it's Brianna.
Oh man.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was Laura. Now's hanging out and being part of our show at the very end.
Oh, that's right. Where is
game
she?
Of games,
they all want to be part of Mason and Ireland.
Everybody wants to join in. Yeah. All right, coming up next, I'll tell you what we're all going to do on August the 3rd. I'll tell you what we're all going to do on August the 3rd, and it is completely on me. That is coming up next for you. It's 1 week from today. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.